Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. We have 9 more days of February, only because it's a leap year, but 9 more. And it has been, February's for a short month, it's been an eventful month. So actually it's been eventful. And not negative, but you know, things have shown up and things have been addressed, and I just feel like it's been a month of progress. That's a better way to say it. If you listened to last week's show with CA, our meeting of the minds, excuse me, we were talking about relationships and relationships with inanimate objects or non-living things like our homes and the things we have in them, our cars, etc. And CA told a story, and she said, I've never told anyone this, but her car, she drives a Subaru, and I think she said it was 23 years old, something like 23 years old. And she drove it from Colorado when she moved to Vegas. So she drove it all the way. And she said that the first night she was in her house, that she went to the garage door and just said thank you to her car. Her car's name is Esmeralda, which is really funny because my Saturn that I'd had for 18 years that I donated in 2018 was named Esmeralda as well. And that was, you know, we named our cars before we ever met each other. So that was kind of a funny thing. But anyway, she said that ever since, the last thing she does before she goes to bed is goes to the garage, opens the door and says thank you to her Esmeralda. And, you know, she was saying, I've never told anybody that, but I totally got it. You know, I totally got it. I mean, there are just things, it just, whatever you put into anything is what you get out of it, you know, and whatever you appreciate, appreciation grows. Appreciation is a huge positive vibration to work with and to use. So whatever you appreciate, whether it's, you know, I'm sitting here touching my desk as I say that, which I do appreciate it because it's like the coolest desk ever, but everything, you know, just a bed. When I get into bed at night, I go, oh, thank you, God, for my bed. You know, it just feels so good to lay down in your bed and go to sleep, and all the things that, you know, how that rest serves you and how your bed serves you. And this is an aside, but, you know, it's a really good idea to ground your bed. It's a good idea to ground anything, especially yourself. But, you know, just imagine colored beam of light grounding your bed to the center of the earth. And then just imagine beautiful gold energy flowing through your bed. Now, our beds are, for lack of a better word, dumping grounds, right? You know, if we're worried, we can't sleep, if we're, you know, whatever it is, our dreams, whatever it is. I mean, they go with us typically into our bed at night when we go to sleep. So our beds take a lot of energy. We release a lot of energy. And we also, my truth, I'm not a dream expert, but I think in a lot of cases, what dreams are for is to look at things we can't look at with our conscious mind and to release them when our conscious mind is not involved. So, you know, all of that, pain, you know, if you go to bed and you're hurting, or if you go to bed and you go to bed because you don't feel well, I mean, energy sticks. It sticks in physical things, on physical things. So grounding your bed is a great idea. Again, just imagine a colored beam of light, a grounding cord from your bed to the center of the earth, because you're grounding your bed. You've kind of grounded yourself when you get into the bed. So it's working for you in that way too, to help you sleep, to help you rest. But it just grounds off all that stuff and makes a clear space so that you can get the most out of your sleep that you possibly can, you know, without going in and having and kind of sitting in old energy. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but But that's a really good thing to do. And as you, when you ground it, when you give it that grounding cord, bring it into present time. Date that grounding cord the date that you're using it, because then it just releases everything that's not in present time down that grounding cord. And it makes for peaceful sleep. It really truly does. So anyway, somebody must have needed that. So there you go. So anyway, just thanking things and appreciating things that you have in your home or your office or whatever it is, or your car. Well, the reason why I told that story is because last Wednesday, as you probably know, was Valentine's Day. And my Valentine, kind of from my mom to myself, was that I got the title to Olive, my mom's little Jeep Cherokee, transferred into my name. So Olive is mine now, and I am so blessed to have her. And every morning when Grace and I go for our walk, I give her a little pat on the hood. Say thank you to her, because I just love seeing her in my driveway when I walk out there. She's an incredible gift. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. But the other thing about February, probably the biggest thing, maybe bigger than all of that, to happen is that my Quinn, my oldest granddaughter, her birthday is this Sunday, the 25th, and she turns 7. Which it's hard to believe, but she's having her 7th birthday. She's having a ninja birthday bash. The invitation was really cute. It's this little girl in a ninja mask. Actually, that's on Saturday. And then Sunday, they'll just have like a little family thing to celebrate her birthday. Quinn is like 7 going on 25. And she's just a doll. And she's very smart, and she's a very good student, and a good basketball player, and she's in Girl Scouts, and she was selling Girl Scout cookies. And I mean, it's just really neat to see her out of little kid stage, because she's a kid, she's a kid. She's 7 years old. She has a lot going on. She has a social life. 7 going on 25, but I'm really proud of her. So happy birthday, Cupid doll. I'm excited. I'll talk to you on Sunday. So anyway, that's my February news, but I am happy to be here today, and you can probably hear that in my voice. I have some really kind of fun and joyful things to share with you today. If you are listening live, I invite you to join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic. And I will, if you have comments or questions, I'll respond to them after the show through Facebook. You can, if you want a reading from me or a healing, you can find me every day on 12listen and 12listen.com. And I'm typically available mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by, don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request, and I'll be notified via text and will respond as soon as I possibly can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. So there is a way to get a reading from me every day, like every day. We also have reduced rates on 12listen a few times a week. This coming Saturday is the full moon, so we will be celebrating that, and I will have a full moon time-based session at a very special price for that day. And I will be available all day from probably about 10 Pacific time in the morning into the evening. And we typically celebrate Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays for sure every week, because Sundays are always psychic. But if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And when I say special, that means reduced rates on calls and chats for those days. So, as I said, if you want to be notified of them, go to 12listen.com, sign up for 12 promotions, which just means leaving your email address. My Available for Love 15-minute time-based session is available through the end of the month, so Thursday next week. And it's a good one. It's just about love and relationships and letting go of stuff that, old baggage, old, whether it's from experiences that you had in the past, negative ones that cause a lot of fear, that cause you to just second guess everything and not be able to trust anybody. And that was a big statement, but I think you know what I mean. Or if it's just, old stuff that we grew up with, information, old stuff, old like rules or stories or whatever from our families or people that were important to us, those add energetic weight too, because we're navigating that psychic sea all the time. So a lot of times the stuff that's in our space isn't even ours or a product of our experience, but it's something that we've taken on as a belief or a program from someone else. So programs are just limiting beliefs that we've taken on from other people. That's what programs are. And they can be moved because they're a lie. They're erroneous. They are not true. They have no legs. They have nothing to give them substance other than the belief that we put in them. So that's the purpose of that time-based session. And next month we'll be getting into next month's spring will start later on in March. And boy, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling that energy. I'm just feeling the momentum now towards spring, which feels really good. It feels really, really good. And it's changing. Just energy is changing. Things are happening. I just noticed today when we were out on our walk, a house that had been on the market in my neighborhood for several months sold. Oh, and my mom's house sold last week. So we finally have it under contract. It belonged to my brother and sister-in-law. My mom lived in there for 10 years. They bought it so that she could live there. And she paid rent and utilities and stuff, but it finally went under contract. So it's exciting and it just puts a little motivation. It gives me a little motivation because I gotta transform Shannon's office into a guest room because there's a bunch of furniture that's come from my mom's house to my house by the time it closes. So I think I have probably less than 30 days now. So it's time to get on it. And hopefully that happens. It should start today, start really happening today. But I've been working on stuff to get it clear. But it's just action, momentum. And it seemed like such a grind in January and kind of through the holidays, we're past it. That's my feeling. We are past that. Now it's forward motion, and that feels really good. So I just want to thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. And just to remind you that 1-2 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. The archives of everyone's show who does a radio show on 1-2 Listen are in the on-demand section of 1-2radio.com. So if you ever need a little lift or you're bored or you just want to do something different, download a show and listen to it. I mean, it's a lot of different people sharing their passion, all in support. This is what we love and what we get to talk about, which is a gift to us, and it's one way that we give to the world. So anyway, the archives are a great source of inspiration and information, and I encourage you to use them. So I'm going to take a breath, say thank you to Jay, and let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Goa Dreams by Karma Cosmic. And this is from the Music for Tantra and Meditation CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it. It's cool music. It's very cool music. So enjoy it for a few minutes. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I'm very happy that you're here with me today. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. That is uplifting music, I think. I got to hear the last little bit of it before Jay counted me back in. In the chat room, Pamela said that they have grounding sheets now, and they do. And I've had one for a couple of years, and I really like it. I really like it because I think it's from a company called Earthing, and Earthing is an interesting. It's an interesting story. Clint Ober, I think, is his last name. It's a really cool story. You can YouTube it or Google him. And he's got all these products. And in fact, I have a grounding mat under my feet right now that's just plugged into an outlet, and it just grounds your body. So the grounding sheets, it's a grounding pad actually that goes over my sheets, go over it. That's the one I have. They have different products, but it's good for the body. But when I talked about grounding your bed, imagine putting a grounding cord on your bed. Basically, that lets your bed release, so and keeps that clear space for you that empowers your rest and empowers your sleep. So, but I like my earthing things. I love them. What I want to talk about today is a lot of really joyful stuff. I mean, that's what I want to talk about. I mentioned to CA last week in our conversation that I have a couple of projects going on, and I mentioned my office that is really like go time. And Shannon has this massive desk in there that nobody wants. And I mean, it's just gotten so beat up through, being moved out of the house, taken apart. I remember when he bought that, we bought it at like Office Depot or something like that, a store like that. And it came in a box. And this thing is giant. It went all the way like around him. It was a U shape. And then it had the cabinets that went up, in front. And I mean, it's just massive. And so I remember when we were trying to put it together, I'm trying to help him like organize the screws and stuff and read the directions. I just wanted to cry. It took us like a whole day to put that thing together. And so when we moved out of the house, when we had it remodeled, we had to, the movers broke that desk down and then put it back together and didn't do a great job. Because it's got a million, like at least a million screws and bolts and stuff, but it got really beat up in that move, like part because it's particle board. Its structure is particle board. It's got a wood grain veneer to it, and it's beautiful. I mean, when it was brand new, it's beautiful. And he loved his desk. He had plenty of room to pile up massive amounts of paper because he hoarded paper, which was kind of funny. But anyway, the desk, the corner that the desk is in his office, there's a leak. It used to be the garage. It was Jared's bedroom as he was growing up. It's a big room. But it is like a little below the sidewalk that goes in front of it. So we've never really been able to fix that leak. We just make sure water is diverted away from the house. That's how we were able to do it. But then last year we had just a ton, like really heavy rains, unusually heavy rains, and just couldn't keep up with it. So we had another leak, and we'd had a leak prior to that. And anyway, so it has carpet, and the carpet's just, it's got to go. It's got to go. The desk has to go because I know that that particle board has soaked up a lot of water too. And so Scott's coming over today to dismantle it and actually get rid of it. I gave people options if they wanted it. Nobody, nobody wanted it. So, and it really literally takes up just about half of the room, at least more than a third of the room. So, I'm excited to get it out of there and transform it into a guest room, but still leave in there. Like he's got the most wonderful collection of books, beautiful books, wonderful books, the classics and books on architecture and photography and really lovely books that are going to stay in that room because I'm not getting him out of here. I'm just getting the desk out, making the room more practical. And so anyway, it's a big project. And I mentioned to CA that I have a couple more projects going, and as long as I'm busy, I'm good. I'm good because I get into what I'm doing and it's energizing and it's motivating. But if it gets too quiet, sadness can kind of creep in. So I try to avoid that, which good luck with that, right? And of course, I can only avoid it for so long. And really and truly, grief is a healer if capital IF you have it as it comes. That's all. I mean, it just cleanses you. It really cleanses you. But to have it, but not get lost in it, that's the key. Use it, but don't let it use you. And that's the most important thing, which is why I like to just really keep going. But for a few weeks, I'd been really bothered talking about grief. I'd been really bothered because I just wasn't feeling Channon around me. I just wasn't feeling him. And I hadn't had a dream about him since right after he left. And it just seemed strange. And at first I was sad, but then after, I mean, this was a few weeks, I got mad. I just got mad. It's like, where the hell are you? Where did you go? What's the deal? And I can imagine, really, if I were free, totally and completely free without a body, I'd be everywhere, just everywhere, seeing what's what, seeing people that I hadn't seen in forever, having fun with them. So, I was being a little selfish, and feeling sorry for myself. But I really did. I got mad. And that was good because I finally let go. I let go. And I just surrendered all attachment to needing him to show me that he was around. I let it go. I really truly was able to do that. And I set him free to be free and do whatever he was doing. And in doing so, set myself free as well. And I felt a lot better. I just felt a lot better because, whether a person's in body or not, whatever you need pushes it further and further away from you. That need holds you prisoner and pulls whatever the thing is that you think you need further away. And it's the most stagnating kind of energy that you can entertain because it repels. It doesn't draw to you. It actually repels the thing that you're looking to have. So as soon as I set him free, things started to happen. And that's what I want to talk about because they are just joyful and amazing at the same time. So these may not be in exact order, but they all started Valentine's week, last week. Or they started early in the week and they went through the week actually until to Sunday. Including Sunday, actually. So in our backyard, there's a wind spinner, and it's not the flat kind, but it's like a cup, and it's got these, it looks like feathers. It's metal, and it's painted all these really beautiful colors. So it's like a cup, and it's got these feather-looking blades on it. So there's a bottom one, and then there's a smaller one above the larger one, and it has a little solar light in the middle of it. And it's really a cool looking thing. And Anna, Channon's daughter, gave it to him a few years ago for Father's Day or his birthday or one of those. And because he always loved to sit on the patio out there. It's right outside our living room, so it's where the Virginia creeper is and the grass and some flowers, not many flowers really, but he just loved to sit out there and just be outside. He loved to be in the sun. So we enjoyed that for years. And we would go and just sit on the patio at the end of the day and talk and put music on the inside and just be out there, enjoying kind of the end of the day and the weather and just each other. It was just kind of a fun, casual place to be. But if I remember correctly, I should say, I don't remember seeing that thing spin, the wind spinner, very often. I didn't see it. And when it did, it was always just the bottom row, which is bigger than the second row. Well, for some reason, that spinner kept getting my attention over the last week. And the way the living room is it's all windows out to the patio, big like floor to ceiling windows. And the other wall, the wall opposite it, I have a lot of paintings on and a lot of, framed paintings that have glass. And a year ago for Christmas, my brother gave me an aura, an Apple aura, which is the frame that you just feed your pictures in from your phone, from your iPhone, and they just play constantly. They just change constantly. And I thought it was some big deal to set that thing up. So I waited until Jared was here and I said, "Can you help me with this?" And he was doing something else and I read the book and I just did it. So I put it off for a whole year thinking it was a big deal. But apparently it was just time to do it. So I've got that thing sitting kind of directly across or within range of the windows, and you can see the spinner out those windows. So several times I'd be looking at the picture, what picture was up on the aura. Most of them are my grandchildren, Grace and some other things. But I'd be standing there looking at that, and I could see in the painting is behind it, on the wall above it, behind it, I could see that spinner going. And I'd look out and I'd look up in the tree and see how windy it was. And it wasn't, there'd be a breeze, but it wasn't like a lot of wind. And not only did I see the bottom, but the second row also was spinning. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I started wondering if maybe that's a little communication. Maybe that's a little hello from Channon. So a few days ago, I was kind of entertaining that because I was just kind of watching for something. So I kind of had that in my head. A few days ago, I actually looked out the window at the spinner first, which was spinning. And when I turned around to see what picture was on the aura, it was a picture of Channon. It was this really neat profile that I'd taken of him. I think we were in the airport in LA, and it would have been like 2018. And he was just kind of pensive, but it was a neat picture of him. And I thought that was really sweet. So seeing the spinner and then turning around and having the affirmation for me that's his doing, his little hellos through that wind spinner, letting me know that he's about. So, next story. Valentine's Day it was just always important to us. We always shared mushy Valentine's cards and we gave each other gifts. So on Valentine's Day, now he hadn't been in my dream since I guess it would have been around New Year's, af after Christmas, around New Year's Day. So since the very 1st of January, he hadn't been in my dreams. But he showed up in my dream on Valentine's Day, which was cool. And the dream was really vivid at the time, but it is kind of difficult to remember. And so, but I have to start by saying Channon was a huge science fiction fan. Star Wars, Star Trek, Philip K. Dick. He was a hardcore sci-fi fan. And so are all his kids. And I am not. I am that it just never appealed to me. I love thrillers and mysteries and gothic horror, but not sci-fi. Not sci-fi. So what I remember of this dream was we were in like this big colorless place that colorless meaning it was kind of bright. It had the feeling of like being on a big white beach, but that's not really what it looked like. But that was sort of the feeling of it. It did feel like it was outside in parts of it. We were walking, there were other people there, but we were all kind of spread out. And as we were doing whatever it was we were doing, these waves of energy would like roll through. They would come rolling in. And it wasn't just one big wave of energy, but it was like, and the people that I saw were couples. I'm sure they were couples. I don't remember seeing children. I just remember seeing couples, two people walking together. You know, like I said, we were kind of spread out, but we each had our own wave of energy. And they looked like these big pearlescent clouds. And they'd come rolling in and they would flow right through us. And you could feel it. They just flowed through us and they flowed through everybody. Like I said, everybody got their own cloud. And it happened several times. It wasn't just one time, but it was when we were out. And like I said, this place had the feeling of a beach, but it didn't really look like it. It just looked like a big, light, bright place. So anyway, the part that I remember really specifically, it is was toward the end of the dream, and we all of a sudden we had gone inside somewhere that was still big and white, or big and light and spacious, and we were sitting in a big white booth, and the booth just kind of swirled around us, and we were sitting side by side on one side of the booth, and this other couple came in and sat on the other side. And I remember the man getting in, but the woman was kind of like rushing in after him. And she had kind of a big energy. You know, she was sort of had like kind of a gregarious energy. And as soon as they sat down, Shannon got up and left. So the last thing I remember about the dream was watching him walk away. You know, I was still sitting there and I was watching him walk away. And I don't know what that point was, but what was important is he visited me on Valentine's Day. And and that was the most important thing. Then the next one was this Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. He shows up in my dream and we were in a city. And we were walking down a street. And I don't think anyone else, I didn't see anyone else in this dream. It was just the two of us. And he looked, now, in the dream I just described to you, he had darker hair. He was younger. And I probably was too. And in the dreams I had of him previously, the dream I had of him previously, right after he left, we were both young, like in our 20s, which we never knew each other when we were that age. But in this one on Sunday, he looked like he did recently, but he was healthy. He was healthy. He had his beard, but he wasn't sick. He was walking, we were talking, but we weren't talking a lot. We were walking down the street. And he was very serious. And that kind of threw me. But as the dream went on, I understood, you know, he had a purpose. He had to be somewhere. So we come to this large building that was very modern and had a lot of glass. And he not only loved science fiction, but he loved modern architecture. So that made sense. So that was the building we were supposed to go into. We walked in, and In the entry was this massive elevator with stainless steel doors. And I mean, this the doors to this thing, it was big enough to carry a piano, really, or bigger, you know, in this elevator. It was just giant. So we stopped in front of the elevator, and I asked him where he needed to go. And he said to room 42. And I said, well, you know, we're on the ground floor, so we don't need to wait for the elevator. Let's just go find the room. So he repeated several times and was emphatic that he needed to get to room 42. So we walked down the hallways and we found rooms of every number but 42. I mean, we walked through these hallways and there were lots of rooms, lots of numbers, but we couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. And finally, we ended up at another hallway. And it was just incredibly long. Now, the hallways with the numbers were not bright. They were kind of, I don't know, they were kind of dark. You know, there were lights in them, but they weren't, you know, bright. So we get to this other hallway, and this hallway is wide, and it's so long that I can't see the end of it. And I don't see any doors at all, just this massive long hallway. And I looked up. When we get to this hallway, I see the hallway first, and then I see this sign. And it's like a directory sign, but all the sign had on it were two numbers. One was 42, and I think the other one was 83, but I'm not positive about that. And it wasn't that it didn't, I don't think it even said room, you know, or suite or anything by those numbers. It just had the numbers. But the sign itself was another kind of a swish or swirl shape that pointed down the hallway. And and that was the end of the dream. So I woke up feeling, pardon my voice, I woke up feeling disappointed and kind of sad because he just didn't seem lively or engaged, and like he had been in the other dreams. But then I realized that being together was not the point of that dream. You know, it wasn't about us or our interaction. It was about finding room 42. So last night, when I sat down to write this show, because it's just been on my head, you know, since Sunday morning when I had the dream, I decided to look up the significance of the number 42, just for the heck of it, because he just kept repeating that that's where he had to get to. So I Googled it, and this is what I found out. It said 42 has some intriguing mathematical properties. It's a pranic number, meaning it's the product of two consecutive integers. I'm not saying that right. Anyway, you know what I mean. 6 times 7, 6 times 7. 6 and 7 consecutive numbers, as well as a Harshad number, which means it's divisible by the sum of its digits. 4 plus 2, 6. In the realm of science, 42 plays a role in various fields. But here's the real kicker. I thought that was interesting, the whole science bit. Here's the part that just, I was stunned. It said, the number 42 is, in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, the, quote, answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, unquote. Calculated by an enormous supercomputer named Deep Thought over a period of 7.5 million years. Honestly, I think I sat here with my mouth open. I was absolutely astounded. You know, no wonder he had to get to room 42. And how cool he kind of took me along on his journey trying to find it. But I think that's what these dreams were. You know, me kind of tagging along with him on his new adventure. But is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? I just couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievable when I read that. So, all of what I'm sharing is just really, it is joyful and just amazing, just amazing. But I've saved the best for last. This is the best. So, and this was my experience. So I'm working on transitioning Shannon's office into a guest room, so that so that Jared, my grandchildren, can stay with me when they're in town, and when they move back and they're up in Fort Collins and they come down to Denver, they got a place to stay. And I have my own office and don't need to. So I was going through books on his bookshelf Sunday afternoon and evening, and as I said before, he has wonderful books that I will keep and treasure, and hopefully my grandchildren will too. But then there were others that he never read, like, I don't know, like business books and just books that he never read. And he was a great cook, so he's got a great assortment of cookbooks. He loved to cook, and he cooked with reckless abandon. I'd walk into the kitchen while he was cooking, and he's got a skillet, and he's tossing onions about a feet up a foot up into the air, and I just would like go, do you really have to do that? Because he cooked great, and like I said, with reckless abandon, but he never cleaned up after himself. That was always my job. So, it's like, oh, it was just, it was funny. It's funny now. It was aggravating at the time. But the food he made was fantastic. I mean, he was really an excellent cook. And so he has a lot of cookbooks, and some of them are really beautiful and interesting, and I'm looking through, and I'm just seeing the ones that maybe I can get rid of, And there was, I found one called the Slim Gourmet that was never opened. All the other ones you could tell he'd used and made recipes out of, but the Slim Gourmet was never opened. And honestly, I just cracked up when I put that one in the donation box. But by the time I got through with the books, I had two substantial boxes of books to donate, and he probably has four times that many still here that will be put in a beautiful bookshelf. But it was interesting, and the reason why I really was motivated to do that on Sunday is because I had a donation pickup scheduled for Monday morning. So I wanted to get as much out there as I possibly could. And Scott's coming this afternoon to start to dismantle that massive desk. But the last book that I was going to put in the donation box was a book that my mom had given to him. He loved photography. He was a great photographer, and he had a lot of books on photography. So this was called oh, something. I can't remember what it was called, but it was wildlife photography. And it beautiful photos that I remember going through it. And we had it sitting on a coffee table for a long time before we did the remodel and came back in. And it's been sitting on the top of his bookshelf now for four years, over 4 years after we moved back in. So I took it, it was the last book. I put it on top of the box because the boxes were full and I was going to find a space for it in a minute. And then I took it back. Something just kind of tapped me on the shoulder. I took it back out because as I was looking at it and, thinking about it, they're pictures of animals. And I think my grandchildren, Quinn, Bodie, Maisie, would like those pictures. They're beautiful. It's a beautiful book. So I took it back out and I was going to look at it, but before I go further with this part of the story, I have to insert some information or else it won't make any sense. So, Channon loved Passover. It was his favorite holiday, and he cooked like nobody's business for many, many Seders. And we hosted Passover Seders for sometimes as many as 14 people over, well, 10, 11 years, up until last year. And so after we got back from Vegas in 2012, from then up until, well, 2023 was the, we didn't. But before that, we did every one of them. And it was just, he loved it. He loved it. It was his favorite holiday. He cooked a bunch of food. He did the majority of the cooking, and his daughter Anna would bring like the rest of it. She'd fill in the blanks, but he did the main parts. And it, but so if you're not familiar with Passover, if you've not been before the Seder, which is the ritual and the story of Moses freeing the Hebrew people from Egypt, and a dinner, a piece of matzah, which is unleavened bread, or really, a cracker called the afikomen, is hidden somewhere in the house. And at the end of the meal, the children or the youngest person at the Seder has to go find it. So it's a little bit of fun. And Passover, the whole thing is just joyful and uplifting and a lot of fun. So at the end, the kids have to go search out the Afikomen. And so I needed to set that up. Well, back to the story. So I took the book, and the book is called Spirit of the Wild, into the kitchen to look at the pictures. And when I opened the cover, I found the Afikomen. I found a piece of matzah that Janin had put in there for, I don't know when. I don't know how many years that piece of matzah has been under the cover of that book, at least 4.5 since we got back here. And he would have put it in when it was a coffee table book. And obviously, either the kids lost interest in searching for it, or there wasn't a kid, and Anna, poor Anna, who's in her 30s now, was always the one, because she was the youngest one at the table, that was supposed to go find the Afikomen. But when I opened it and found it, I laughed so hard. It was just the best example of Channon's silliness there could ever be. It just ever. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I called my aunt. I sent texts to Anna and to Daniel, and it was just delightful. It was the most delightful thing that could have happened. And there he is. There he is, my silly husband. And like I said, I don't know how long it would have been there. It could have been from Passover in 2019. It could have been any time before that. But anyway, like I said, I texted everyone, and we all just had a great laugh and just thought that was just wonderful. How, what a perfect little hello. But Leon, Shannon's brother, wrote back, very funny. Luckily, ants do not like unleavened bread, because it's perfect and proof that matzo will last, past the apocalypse, like Twinkies. But here I'd been thinking that Channon was off on a great adventure, or he was mad at me or something. And as soon as I let him go, he made sure that I knew he was right here. Really, surrender is the key to everything. Surrender is the key to really touching that peace that passes understanding, that is the substance of our outward experience. I can't wait to see what happens next. I just had to share those stories with you because they're crazy. They're crazy. Those dreams are crazy. That story is crazy, but just joyful and uplifting. And there's no way I could have made them up. So, anyway, everyone, thanks for joining me today. I'm so glad you were here, and I hope you enjoyed those silly stories. But I hope you will stay tuned. For Katie Weaver, you've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that we relate to the world, because indeed we do create it. Our world is thus pushed outward. We will get out of it. to in the exact proportion to what we put into it. So putting in joy and appreciation and love, it comes rolling back because it has to. That's the law. Anyway, thanks everyone. I wish you a very, very blessed week. Bye-bye.